Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning health checkup time. Dr. Jeffrey Boomer joining us now, the emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine, Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Boomer. As you know, it seems like everybody around here is on Paxlovid right now, and COVID is back at high levels. Let's talk first about something I've heard a lot about, rebound COVID. Does this have anything to do with taking Paxlovid?
So I think it's become more talked about because of Paxlovid, but in the reality of it is, Bob, is that almost any viral condition we get, whether it be the influenza, RSV, and then COVID as well, we get our body sort of fight. There's this sort of sort of the seesaw effect, if you will, this push and pull with our bodies winning the war, the virus is winning the war, and it goes back and forth. We sort of notice our symptoms kind of wax and wane a little bit. Paxlovid really gives our body that extra boost. So we really are, our body really is sort of beating this thing. Paxlovid is not a cure, so it doesn't ever get rid of the virus, but it really gives us, our immune system, that extra advantage to stop that virus from replicating. And then when Paxlovid we stop it, then the virus is still there. And for some people, about 20% of people will have noticeable rebound effects where their symptoms come back, and they may actually test positive still longer than they would have. So It happens with every virus. We've probably all experienced that, where I thought I was better and I woke up today and I feel as bad as I did 2 days ago. What's going on here? And that's sort of the natural progression of viruses. But Paxlovid makes it more pronounced, and so we've heard about it longer, heard about it, it's happening longer in some people. And the other issue is that, with the ability to test for COVID at home, which is the first time we've ever been a widespread being able to test for a virus at home, we can actually see, I test them 10 days out and I'm testing positive. What's going on? And that's that rebound effect. So whether you've been on Paxlovid or not, you may still get that rebound effect. And so we can actually document the fact that we're having this positivity on the test longer than we would have expected. And that just happens. We can now document that, but it probably happens with probably any other viral upper respiratory or any other viral infections that we are succumbed to.
So no reason to be afraid of taking Paxlovid because you think it's going to increase your chances for rebound COVID, right?
No, absolutely not. If you're a compromised person, in other words, you've got weakened immune system due to a medical condition or medications that you're taking, as long as there's not an absolute contraindication to taking Paxlovid, that's a medicine you should definitely get on if you meet the criteria for it. Absolutely.
And what is the thinking now about staying home or staying away from people once you take Paxlovid and then you wait till you test negative, or do you count the days since you were first infected? How does that work now?
Yeah, generally it's having started back in May, the CDC's guidelines changed for the general public. As long as you are fever free for 24 hours and your symptoms are improving, you can get back out and with the general public. But if you're still having symptoms, if you still have a cough, you still have a runny nose, you should be masking and keeping your social distances. But you don't have that 5 day quarantine is no longer necessary. You can get out as long as you're getting better and you don't have a fever for 24 hours. But you don't have to test to the point where you're negative. It's all based on how are your symptoms, right? If you're still having some symptoms, use common sense. And if you're not testing, if you're just a little bit under the weather, you've got a bit of a cough and congestion, use common sense, right? Probably a good idea to, if you're feeling poorly, to stay at home. And if you're going to be around people and have a cough and congestion, probably a good idea to mask and keep your distance.
You can test positive for quite a while, can't you?
You can, yeah. So I would say if you're positive, if you're still testing positive, if you have any, especially if you have any symptoms, you would consider yourself to be contagious still, and you can make sure you're social distancing and wearing a mask. But that's the issue people run into, right? If they're concerned and they're going to be around people that they are, they're worried about spreading the virus too, that vigilance creates this sort of, a little bit of anxiety about should I be around that person. So you see a lot of people testing, and if you're testing positive, You probably should, you're considered to be contagious still, so I would probably, you know, make sure at least you're masking, keeping your distance if you're going to be anywhere around anyone.
This new variant that's going around now, how is this different symptom-wise and in any other way from what's been around previously?
Yeah, that's this KP311 and the KP23. They're really not any different. I mean, these variants really are just mechanisms of the virus to be a little bit more contagious. We don't have as much of the antibodies from the previous vaccines or previous exposures that we've had or to the virus. So, but we're still seeing the very similar symptoms. I've seen some of my colleagues have noted that they seem to have a little bit more GI symptoms in the patients coming into the emergency room, but meaning the nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. But overall, it's still the same, you know, congestion, cough, headaches, body aches, you know, it's pretty much the same symptoms. So it's just another, you know, the little small mutation in the virus that's allowing it to be a little bit more contagious. So another reason to be more vigilant about doing the things we just talked about, masking, mm-hmm. staying home if you're sick.
It's our Monday morning appointment with Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Jeffrey Bomer is the emergency medicine physician at the Central DuPage Hospital. Doctor, let's talk about the flu shots. They're here. When's the best time to get one?
Yeah, best time to get it, Bob, I would say, is at least 2 weeks before you get exposed to it. So the question is, when is that most likely, right? So
yeah.
I think generally it's going to be probably over the next, you know, probably the next month. So I think really late September into late October, somewhere in that time frame is most ideal. Flu tends to peak, at least last few years, it tends to be peaking in around December. So I would say, you know, try to you know, set a day sometime between the end of this month and the end of October. I think you're probably in good shape. You don't want to get it too early because you tend to get a little bit of waning effect, that you tend to lose some of that immunity that you get from the flu shot. So I think that's going to be probably your best time.
Should you get it apart from the COVID vaccine? Leave space there?
Yeah, you don't have to.
No?
Yeah, you don't have to. I think it's probably better off if you're getting both, to go ahead and get both at the same time. It's more convenient. There's no study that shows that it's going to have any effect on the efficacy of one or the other. So I'd recommend getting both at the same time. It's for convenience, and you're probably more likely to, if you're going to get them done right away. You won't have to worry about getting the other one.
Is it too early to say if this is going to be a bad flu season or any different from previous years?
It doesn't look like it. We look at the southern hemisphere. Usually Australia is our best indicator of what to expect for some reason. But you always look at the southern hemisphere data, and it looks like it. Nothing in terms of it being anything in terms of causing a lot more hospitalizations or deaths. So the hope is that we're not going to see any sort of variants develop between now and then. And, you know, hopefully we'll be just a usual flu season, which is, you know, it's nothing to you know, blow off. I mean, last year I think we had something like 40,000 deaths across the United States, so it's still there. I mean, we don't hear about it as much because of the pandemic and COVID-19, but it is still it could be a major health issue, especially in people that have a compromised immune system. The elderly, that have, you know, weakened and waning immune systems, they just don't handle it as well, and it can get very ill and become hospitalized, and obviously they can succumb to it. So it's something that I really recommend getting that flu shot. You know, the efficacy could vary anywhere between like 30% and 80%, and it's a little bit of a crapshoot, if you will, but it has some efficacy. It's going to help you probably at least somewhat. So it definitely would go out and get your flu shot.
Because of the warmer weather we've been having, the mosquito season is lasting longer, and there are reports in Illinois and Wisconsin of West Nile virus. Now, most people would not show any symptoms or would not be affected by this, would they?
That's correct. Yeah, if you get bit by a mosquito that has West Nile virus, and that's the only way you're going to get West Nile virus. It is 100% spread by mosquitoes. So if you get bit by one that happens to be infected with it, you're probably only 1 in 300 chance that you're going to even get West Nile virus in terms of getting any symptoms of it. If you get sick, probably about, you know, mild symptoms most of the time, right? So it's going to be maybe a headache, body aches, fevers. So a very small percentage of those that get infected, probably, you know, less than 1% are actually going to get really sick. But it can happen. We actually had a case that sent to the page recently where a gentleman came in and initially with fairly mild symptoms, you know, fevers and rash and a little bit of body aches, otherwise looked well, and within a couple of days just really, really went downhill. So it can happen. So I think it's one of those things that it's very, if you're going to get bit by a mosquito, the chance of getting really sick is really, really low. But it's something that's preventable, right? So, you know, that's why I'd still be vigilant, especially as we're going to get warmer this week. Mosquitoes are going to come back out. Luckily, we haven't had a lot of rain, so hopefully the mosquito population will be down. But, I mean, it's a good idea to, if you're going to be outside, especially in those dusk hours, to wear your long sleeves, long pants, put your repellent on, and take precaution.
Did I hear that those hardest hit by West Nile, usually very young people and also old people?
Yeah, it's you know, generally it's going to be the you know, it's the extremes of age, those that just don't have the immune system that are going to be able to really withstand or really put up a good fight against the virus. So the chances are that most people that get it, you know, between the extremes of age, are just going to get, if they're going to get sick at all, they're going to have very mild symptoms, feel a little achy, feel a little run down, and not really think much about it. Probably wouldn't even bother seeing a healthcare provider. And unlike COVID, where we can test at home, West Nile virus, I mean, the tests that we have available at the hospital are going to be running tests on their blood, or if we end up doing what we call a spinal tap, where we have to take the cerebral spinal fluid, it takes days to get those results back. So it's not something we can really identify right away. It's usually when you see your physician about it, it's going to be sort of just a clinical diagnosis. So we just basically tell you, look, you sound like you got a virus, let's keep an eye on it. And if you're getting worse, come back and see us and we'll take a look. But you're right. It's going to be those very elderly and the very, very young. You know, we're talking like in that first, you know, 6 months of life, or where you can see it could be very detrimental.
We talk about all these viruses and vaccines. We probably should talk more about keeping your immune system charged up, shouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. So stay healthy, you know, take your vitamins, but, you know, eat a healthy diet, get your sleep, you know, and take care of yourself. Get some exercise. But that's the key.
Wellness like that. Dr. Jeffrey Boomer, Northwestern Medicine. Thank you. Talk to you again soon.
You,